Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 today. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love. Just such a blessing to know the love of Christ. It's beyond knowledge. It's past finding out. It's a deep, deep love. And it all goes back to what he's done for us. We love him because he first loved us. The Holy Spirit puts that love in our heart. But we'll look at a couple verses here. This is 1 Corinthians 6. Let's just read the last two verses of the chapter, verse 19 and 20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and you have of God, and ye are not your own? That's really a good verse. We don't belong to ourselves, we belong to God. That's a good thing. Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And we're going to speak today about being bought with a price, what that price was. Sometimes we just think, well, he died for my sins, but there's so much involved in there. He was separated from the Father. He took on himself our penalty for our sin. And you go through the scriptures and it moves you. It speaks to your heart, the great, great sacrifice of the Lord. I know we are grateful in this realm, in this life, by gifts or something somebody does for us. If somebody made your house payment, you would be very thankful. Amen? Amen? That would be a good thing. But if somebody gave you a house, you might be more thankful. And the magnificence of the gift, you know, dictates that. We talk in the scriptures in 2 Corinthians 8 about thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And it's a free gift, but it is unspeakable. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. We're going to look at that today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the blessings we enjoy as born-again Christians, those that know heaven is their home. And Lord, I pray that we would give honor and glory to our Savior today. And we would remember his sacrifice and the great price he paid for our souls. Minister to us, Lord. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Bought with a price. Bought with a price. It's the terminology that the Bible uses. The Bible has a lot to say about money. It's not all bad. I mean, there's good things it says about money. I like money. There's nothing wrong with money. Amen. If you're going out to eat today, you need money. If you're going to drive your car around, you need money. Not only for the gas, but for the car itself. But it's important that we don't get hung up with the love of money. Amen. Because the love of money can really be a difficult thing to go through. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after have erred from the faith, piercing them through themselves through with many sorrows. So you have to be careful about money. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 19, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and the word becomes unfruitful. And one of the things that does it is the deceitfulness of riches. It's deceitful to think that money is what makes people happy. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, the Bible talks about tithes and offerings. That's how we support the work of the Lord in the local church, missions, etc., etc., with the offerings as well as the tithes. God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen? We're to give not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. We can smile when we do that. I had a friend that every time they took the offering, they would cheer. And I was in his church a couple times when they did that, and I thought, this is a little strange, but at least they were happy, amen, you know. And sometimes it's hard to let go of that. 1 Corinthians 16:2, upon the first day of the week, Sunday, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. So money can be used of God. It can be something that draws you closer to God. We can be thankful for it and use it for his glory in his kingdom. But it can be something that takes you away also. Now, here's some Bible language. We won't spend a whole lot of time on this. But this is the language of the Bible. The Bible talks about debtors, talks about cost, price, money, riches, purchase. In our text, it's bought. You are bought with a price. And obviously, that's not financial. It's something much deeper than that, and we'll look at that. In Luke chapter 14, the picture of God having this great feast, and he invites all to come and partake of it. And the Bible says in verse 18, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. Well, that's a foolish excuse, because you wouldn't buy something you didn't see. But the terminology, I have bought a piece of ground. Another one says, I have bought some oxen, and I need to go and prove them. Well, that would be foolish, too. But the language that God uses there, because we understand that. Amen? Here's a monetary value. Here's something I paid for. And this is more important than this. Here's the Lord, and he's offering this great feast. That's the picture of the parable. And yet people are buying something or making excuses for buying something so that they could not take the invitation. We have, Matthew 26, 15. Judas, he said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. I'll betray the Lord. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. If you go to the Old Testament, that's the price of a slave. 30 pieces of silver, and I'll betray the Lord. You have Acts chapter 8 and verse 20. Peter says to Simon, who wanted to purchase the power of God with money. He wanted to buy it. He saw what was being done by the disciples, and he says, man, I want that. I'll give you money for that. And this is what Peter said unto him. Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. And so there's money and purchase. So here, it's a way to identify, it's a way to relate to something spiritual. So the love of money produced an excuse. It produced a betrayal of the Lord. It produced a lie in those three instances. And the scriptures are endless about this. You could read much more. And you could see what that produces. So the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, the other side of the coin, wasn't that neat how I did that? Work that right at the other side of the coin. We'll go, come on, that was good. Okay. The other side of the coin. Here's King David. David had sinned. He numbered the people. It was a thing of pride, and all that happened because of that, there was a judgment. So Gad, who was the prophet, he comes up and he says, you need to build an altar and confess this, and David was all for that. And so there was a king there that says, here, David, here's the land, here's the sacrifice, here's the wood for the fire, here's everything you need. And this was David's response. 2 Samuel 24:24, and the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. I will pay the price for this. He said, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which cost me nothing. I'm not going to make that. How could I make this a sacrifice if it doesn't cost me, if it costs you? So I'm not going to do something for the Lord if it doesn't cost me something. That's what Malachi is about. We have Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26. This is about Moses. And it says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches, there's the terminology again, we can see that. Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had to respect unto the recompense of the reward. So sacrificing for the Lord is greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. Doing his will, honoring him, serving him. Amen? So we can understand that. We have Luke chapter 21 and verse 3. Remember the Pharisees and the rich men were casting much in, and boy, everybody saw them casting it in, but there was a poor widow. And the Bible says, of a truth, Jesus says, of a truth I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. They were great gifts, but there was a different motive in giving those things. And this poor widow didn't have much to give, and she gave everything she had. So you see that the love of God, the love of money produced an excuse of betrayal and a lie. The love of God produced a gift of gratitude, an example of true value, and a sacrifice. So we equate gratitude or selfishness, profit or loss, temporal value or eternal value with how money is used. Money, there's nothing wrong with money. Money's good. It accomplishes something. Amen? It does. You can help people. You can take care of your family. All the different things. We can support the work of the Lord. Money is okay. Money is good. But the love of money, the love of money. And so this is how we use money. We are bought with a price, therefore. And so we try and focus on, here's the earthly example, but what's the heavenly truth? And we will see that as we get into the message. Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. So her price is far above rubies. That's who she is. That's her spirit. That's her life. We have Job 28:18. For the price of wisdom is above rubies. Here's a monetary thing, but wisdom is so much greater, of greater value than that. We have 1 Corinthians 6:20, our text. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. What was that price? And there's so much Bible on this, and I really pray that as we go through this today, that the Spirit of God speaks the Word of God to us, because the words Jesus spoke, they are spirit and they are life, and they do something for us. They change our heart. They change our minds. 1 Timothy, here's the price. 1 Timothy 2:6. Who gave himself a ransom. A ransom. We'll look at the meaning of that. He gave himself a ransom for all. Matthew 20:28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Hosea 13:14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Here's the definition of ransom. The money or price paid for the redemption of a prisoner or slave, or for goods captured by an enemy, that which procures the release of a prisoner or a captive. In Isaiah 61, God sent his Son to set the captives free. There are those that are taken captive by the devil at his will, but we are now free. The Spirit of the Lord is there as liberty, and we have this wonderful, glorious freedom from our sin. Amen? He has paid the ransom. And so obviously that's not financial. He didn't give so much money for that, but we understand that. Here's somebody that's been kidnapped and they send the ransom. And then if the ransom is paid, they're free. Somebody has to pay the ransom. But our Lord paid that for us. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem. Here's another word. Redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. He gave himself to redeem us. He gave himself to be the ransom for our souls. To redeem means to purchase back, to ransom, to liberate or rescue from captivity or bondage. This is a big deal, because when we accept Christ as our Savior and Christ in you, the hope of glory inside of us, then there's this liberty, and there's this love for God, and there's this freedom from the penalty of sin. And that is really, really important. Amen? Because we're purchased. Here's another word, reconcile. That's to call back into union and friendship the affections which have been alienated. To restore to friendship or favor after estrangement. Ephesians 2:16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Okay, here's the cross. He gave himself. He died for our sins. To purchase us. To ransom us. To redeem us. To reconcile us with God the Father. These are pretty big words. Here's another one. Remission. I got about 50 of these. Amen. Not really. Remission. That's forgiveness, pardon. That is the giving up of the punishment due to the crime. The giving up of the punishment due to the crime. So he took the punishment and we go free. Amen? He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We don't have to pay the penalty. All we have to do is receive the gift, the unspeakable gift. He paid for our sins. He paid that we might be children of God. We have Matthew 26, 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission, the forgiveness, the pardon of sins. That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. That's sometimes we use those verses to show that as we take of the Lord's Supper. So we're regenerated, reconciled to God, ransomed, redeemed. We're bought with a price. What is that price? Well, it was Jesus going to the cross. And sometimes we don't see the depth of that sacrifice. We just look, okay, here's the sin. Yes, he died on the cross for he paid for my sins. Amen. But when you think about, I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what's the penalty for sin? Separation from God for all eternity. All eternity. We cannot comprehend that. All we can do is believe what it says. The wrath of God falls on the sinner. And so Jesus became the sinner for us. Amen? He paid the sin debt for us. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He paid our sin debt. He gave himself. He sacrificed himself. If you have a Bible, look back with me at Isaiah 53. This is a great chapter that shows this truth. Isaiah chapter 53. And I want you to follow along with me. It's a short chapter, but all the words are so important. In Revelation, it talks about, blessed are those that see and hear, that read and hear. And sometimes there's this double power that God does with it. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Or let's go down to verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressor. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Any one of those verses, it's the gospel message. This was prophecy fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what God did for us. Any one of those verses, he paid our sin debt. It's such a blessing. The song says, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Another song says, he gave his life to ransom my soul, now I belong to him. Another one says, Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. This is our life. This is everything. It's not, and salvation produces so many things, but it has to be salvation. It has to be, we love him because he loved us. How did he show his love? Greater love than no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And it's speaking of the death of the cross. But there was so much more that took place on that day. John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We know that. We just read in Isaiah 53. He's led as a lamb to the slaughter. Take your Bibles and go back to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. In Revelation 13 and verse 8, the Bible describes Jesus as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This was the Lamb of God that John talked about. This is the Lamb of God that is pictured all throughout the scriptures. Genesis 22, Exodus 12, Isaiah 53. You just go right on through. And it's the Lamb all the time. Here's the last plague on Egypt so that the children of Israel can be freed, so that they can go into the promised land and so that they can worship God. And they're going to come out of Egyptian bondage. Verse 3, Exodus chapter 12. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month shall they take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. These all speak of Christ. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from your sheep or from the goats. You have a lamb, the lamb, but it's got to be your lamb. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat. That's the cross. It's a picture of the cross. Up here and one on each side. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall ye eat it. Eat it not raw or sodden at all with water, but roast it with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. Verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We sing that. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Think of what a glorious day that was when they were set free because of that. And it all pictured the Lamb. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 8, it says that about that Lamb, roast it with fire. It says in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 9 about that Lamb, roast it with fire. You have in Genesis 22, Isaac is there. Abraham is going to sacrifice his own son, and Isaac doesn't know that yet. And so they go up to the mount, and they're going to have a sacrifice. Genesis 22:6, Isaac said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself. I believe that's exactly the way it should be written. God will provide himself a lamb, a sacrifice for the burnt offering. But it's a burnt offering. They burn it with fire. That speaks of the judgment of God. That judgment of God should have fallen upon us. But it doesn't if we're a Christian, because he took our place. He died for our sins, but he took our penalty upon him. Isaiah 53:10. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Listen to how the Bible puts this together. Exodus 29:14. Shalt thou burn with fire without the camp? It is a sin offering. The sin offering was burned outside the camp with fire. And it says in Isaiah 53:10, thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. That was the sin offering. Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Take the sin offering with outside the camp and burn it with fire. Here it says Jesus suffered without the gate. If Jesus took your sin, who took your penalty? By Jesus taking your sin upon him, who knew no sin, he also took the penalty of that sin. And that is what's unfathomable, because we don't understand how he could pay the sin debt for every human being. Matthew chapter 26, verse 42, Jesus is praying. He leaves his disciples and he goes apart to pray, and he said, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done." He looked in that cup. He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." What in the world was he talking about? We've read that over and over and over. What does it mean? He looked in the cup. What was in the cup? Well, in Revelation chapter 14, verse 10, the Bible says, "The cup of his indignation is filled with fire and brimstone." Whose indignation? God's. God hates sin. Sin has to be judged. It's in the Bible. Amen. "The soul that sinneth, it shall die, unless it's redeemed, unless it's ransomed, unless it's rescued from sin, from the devil." And God did that, amen, by sending his Son to die for us, the cup of his indignation. Jesus on the cross, Matthew 27, 46, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Not "Father." I believe this is the first time he said, "my God." He always called him Father, Father, Father. What a wonderful relationship. But here on the cross he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" God forsook him. God turned his back on his Son, because his Son became sin for us. He became sin for us. "Why hast thou forsaken me?" The question is answered in the book of Hebrews. "I will never leave thee," you, "nor forsake you," because of what my Son did. He paid the penalty. So I'm accepted in the Beloved. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, Pastor, but you got a lot of faults and failures and sins in your life. But I'm accepted in the Beloved. Amen? Because it doesn't depend on my good life. I ought to live a good life. And I ought to die right too. But my salvation isn't on my good works. And I'm not going to lose it because I do something wrong. The debt's been paid. Amen? Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And the greatest merciful act in all the world was God became flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God became flesh. It's so amazing. I believe it. I enjoy it. I am forgiven. I am purchased. I'm the purchased possession. Amen? And you are too if you've received Christ as your Savior. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 27. It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. That's where the Passover was instituted. And it's the lamb being slain, and it's blood over the doorpost. "And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, "For even Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." You just put it all together, and now you know why he died and how he died and what took place when he paid for our sins. And so he says, "You're not your own." Praise God for that. Glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are his. Why would we want to do that? Are you kidding? Look what he's done. I mean, it's hard in this life with, okay, do this, possess this, work here for this, all of these things that we're doing. It's hard to look at the day when this life is over. It's, we keep that out of our mind sometimes. We put that off. But when we cease to exist here, where is our eternity? Is it with God or under the judgment of God? Is it in his presence we have fullness of joy, or is there pain and suffering for all eternity? The Bible talks about that. Jesus paid the price for my soul. In Numbers chapter 21, there's a real amazing picture of what God did for us. And the children of Israel are murmuring against God and against Moses. Murmuring. Very critical. And God sends fiery serpents into the camp, and these fiery serpents, and a serpent is a picture of the devil. We know that from Genesis chapter 3. So these fiery serpents are in the camp, and they're biting children of Israel, and everyone that is bitten is poisoned, and they're dying. People are dying. And Moses said, God, what should I do? What should I do? And God told Moses to take a pole of brass, or a pole, and make a serpent of brass, and put it on the pole, and lift it up. And say to the people, you can read the chapter, and say to the people, whoso looketh shall live. And so if they looked to the brazen serpent on the pole, then the poison had no power over them, and they did not die. Okay, we got that picture. You go to John chapter 3. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's right there. That's right there with that story. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Brazen. Brass speaks of judgment. The brazen altar in the tabernacle. Brass always speaks of judgment. The serpent speaks of sin. And sin was judged up on that pole. Jesus Christ became, he was made to become sin for us. The Bible says that. Isn't that amazing? Because we could not, it had to be the Lamb without blemish and without spot, Isaiah 53. It had to be that, Exodus chapter 12. And he was the only one. He was the God-man. He was all man. He was all God, and he died in our place. Amen? And whosoever looketh shall live. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live, the song says. Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. So amazing, Revelation chapter 20, when Satan is judged, it's fire and brimstone. And that lamb was roast with fire. The judgment of God came upon him, so it does not come upon us. So where do we go from here? Lord, who art thou? Paul, my name is Jesus. Okay, Lord, I believe in you. Now, what do you want me to do? Amen? It only makes sense to live for God. It only makes sense because he died for us. Amen? And so you say life is difficult and life is tough, and we all look at our issues and all the things around us, and we get irked and we get frustrated. And listen, we don't have to go to hell. Amen? We don't have to suffer the punishment of an indignant righteous God, because that price has been paid. Wherefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are his. Amen. Amen. And that's what we're going to do when we take the Lord's Supper. We're going to remember what he did. But it's more than just being nailed to a cross. Much more than that. The depths of that truth. It's not just suffering the physical pain. It's paying for everybody's sin so that he can make the offer to everybody to come and be saved. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, I pray this would really get a hold of us today. The price you paid by sending your Son, and the price he paid by dying for us. The separation, the anguish, not just the physical. God, thank you that I've been ransomed from the grave, that I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for that. And I pray you'd fill all of our hearts with gratitude, great gratitude. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.